We're going to be continuing this morning in Romans chapter 4, verses 17 to 25, and looking more specifically at Abraham, and not just the reality that he was saved by faith, but looking at the fact that he lived by faith. That was how he lived, how he walked. And he left an example for us in that regard as well. And I'd like to read verses 18 to 20, sort of the heart of that passage. It says, "In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God." Let's pray. Father, again, we come before you through your word. We've come before you with song and worship and prayer. We've come before you in communion. And now we come before you through your word and ask that your Spirit would guide us, direct us, open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to understand, and even the things that we've heard and understood before, may they refresh our souls and remind us of the importance of walking by faith for your glory. And I pray it would encourage and strengthen each one of us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I read this week, actually from Wikipedia, and last week Pastor Bart said don't believe everything on Wikipedia, so this is with sort of a, you know, that's my cop-out if this isn't exactly true, but the African Impala is really an amazing animal. It's not that much bigger than a large dog. It's about 36 inches tall at the shoulders, so it's not huge, but it's capable of jumping as high as 10 feet and going 30 feet out. That's more than three times its height. That's if you're 5 foot, that means you could jump 15 feet or 16 feet. That's quite an ability. And yet, you can keep an impala enclosed in a wall that's no higher than 3 feet. You say, well, you just said it can jump 10 feet. Why would a 3 foot wall keep it enclosed? Because they won't jump where they can't see where they're going to land. And if they're just 3 feet tall, they won't do it. So fear of the unknown where the next foot will land keeps them imprisoned in a wall they could easily jump over, an enclosure that they could overcome. Sometimes our fear of the unknown keeps us from living as vibrant and fruitful lives as we might otherwise in Christ. If we can't see where the next foot's going to land, we're not sure we want to follow the Lord. It's hard to walk by faith. Faith is the ability to trust God when we cannot see ahead. And yet that same faith will free us from being bound by fear of the unknown or that unknown next step. Proverbs 20:24 says, "Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can a man understand his way?" If Almighty God, whose ways are beyond our ways, whose thoughts are beyond our thoughts, whose wisdom is beyond our wisdom, is guiding our steps, how could we expect that we would understand our ways? And don't we want the Lord to guide our steps? We want him to direct us in life because we want blessings from following him and the way he leads, but we're not so sure we want him to lead us if it's frightening, if it's unknown, if it takes faith to follow. That's another story. And yet, this is the story of Abraham's life. From the time God called him in Ur of the Chaldees, he walked by faith, not knowing where the next step was taking him. In fact, in Hebrews 11:8, it says, "By faith, Abram, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." He didn't know where the next step would take him, but he trusted in God. And here in Romans 4, Paul uses the example of Abraham's faith and the promise of God to give him a son, even though he didn't understand how in the world that could happen. even though he knew there's no way in the world it could happen without divine intervention. But God promised, and he believed the promise of God in spite of impossible human circumstances. Where does a person get faith like that? By believing in and trusting in God as the object of our faith. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, a father of many nations I have made you. And this is the important part. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God. Abraham believed in God. That was the key. God was the object of Abraham's faith. Now, faith can be weak or strong, but true faith is to trust in God, the almighty, faithful creator of heaven and earth, and his son, Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God. He trusted him. He took him at his word. And the object of our faith, God, and Jesus Christ, is more important than the strength of our faith. You know, we could have great faith, but if the object of our faith is unreliable, the faith is useless. You could have amazing, wonderful, unflinching faith in something, but if that object of your faith is unreliable, you'll wind up bitterly disappointed. I was just reading fairly recently a true story about a number of aviators and crew in the Army Air Corps in World War II that were lost over Greenland. Greenland had one or two or three U.S. military bases where the planes would stop and refuel on their way to taking the planes to England to be involved in the war. But vicious storms could come up quickly over Greenland, and whiteout conditions, and the pilots would become disoriented, or sometimes the weather just take the planes down. And then they'd send out search planes to search for the people that were missing, even if they're sending radio signals, here we are, we went down about here, and they still couldn't find, and sometimes the search planes went down. Well, of the survivors that were rescued, they learned very quickly that they couldn't just go walking wherever they wanted. I mean, it's snowing constantly, so the whole surface looked like fresh fallen or recently fallen snow. It all looked the same. And they might be standing over 1 mile deep, thick ice, pretty firm foundation. And the next step might be a thin ice bridge that was built by blowing snow over a crevice. It looks just like the place they're standing, but the ice isn't thick enough to support them, and they'll fall to their death. So they learn real quick to take a pipe or some kind of probe and stick real hard before each step to be sure the ice would support them. If the ground upon which they were standing wasn't reliable, their faith would prove disastrous. They had to test the ice to see if it was reliable, if they should put their faith in it. Our faith is no better than the strength, the object of our faith. And there's no greater, stronger, more faithful, or trustworthy object of our faith than God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ. Nothing is impossible for him. But he is gloriously, infinitely, impeccably good and loving and gracious. So we know that he wants to guide us in all of our ways for our good and for his glory. We know that he wants to minister to our need with his mercy and grace. So this God Almighty was the object of Abram's faith, and Abram knew that God was more than worthy as the object of that faith. Again, in Romans 4:17, as it is written, a father of many nations I made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. So Abraham believed two very basic things about saving faith, that he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he's creator of all things. Abraham believed that he created all things, that he created things out of that which did not exist. Now, men, women, whatever your hobbies or your abilities or lack of abilities, we've all tried to make things. And it takes an awful lot of labor and learning and wisdom and patience and ingenuity to create something out of materials that already exist. God created everything out of nothing. He didn't start with materials from Home Depot or Lowe's. He started with nothing, and he created it all, and he created it perfect the first time. And he created it to sustain life, and he created it so that we could use that to create other things to help us in life. Abraham believed that God calls into being that which does not exist, and also that he gives life to the dead. You know, as far as we know, Abraham had never seen a miracle until Isaac was conceived. Never seen God do a miracle, but he believed God as creator, and he believed he raises the dead. It was this faith that enabled him to be willing to sacrifice Isaac. Remember, Isaac was the son of promise. He tried to have his own son by another slave woman, and God says, that's not the one. I'll bless him a little bit, but your son is going to come from you and Sarah. And when Isaac was born, God said, it isn't another son, it's that one, Isaac. And then 14, 15, 16 years later, God says, offer him up to me. How could he do that? Because he believed that God can raise the dead. And if God has promised me to have descendants and many nations out of this one son, and now he's asking me to sacrifice him, he's got to raise him up. And I believe it. How do we know that Abram believed that? Because in Hebrews 11, 17 and 19, it says, by faith, Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendant shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Abram's faith was in God Almighty, who created everything out of nothing, and his faith was in God Almighty, who even gives life to the dead. Therefore, nothing was impossible for God. And if God could give life to the dead, Abraham had to believe and concluded, then he can certainly bring forth life from a couple who's reproductively dead. I mean, we're still breathing and eating, but reproductively, we're dead. But God promised, and if he can bring life from death, he can bring life from us. Now, we know far more of God's power and faithfulness and love and grace than Abraham did. Doesn't it seem logical that we should be able to trust even more? You know, we need to be sure that we're spending time as we fellowship, as we worship, as we pray, as we study the Word, asking God to reveal himself to us so that we're growing in our knowledge of him. Growing so it isn't just head knowledge. Yes, God is almighty and nothing is impossible with him, but getting that knowledge down here so that we stand in awe of our great and mighty God and really believe here that nothing is impossible for him. We need to keep growing in our knowledge, and we have more knowledge of God than Abraham did. We have the historical evidence and reality of Jesus' resurrection. We know that he brings life. He brings life from the dead. Nothing is impossible with him. We need to look not only in Scripture and through prayer and worship, but look at examples of what God has done for you in your own life in answering prayer and providing for needs. And learn, grow in our knowledge of God and grow in faith that he is able to take care of us in all of our needs. But no matter how much we grow to believe in the greatness of God, no matter how strong our faith may become, there's always going to be obstacles to our faith. In Abraham's case, the obstacles were the hard physical reality that at 90 years old, Sarah was decades beyond childbearing. And at 100 years old at that time, Abraham was not able to father a child. Abraham said himself, I was as good as dead. Physically impossible. And yet, and this was their obstacle to faith, verses 18 to 20. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, He did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. What is our first reaction when there's obstacles to faith? Stress, panic, anxiety, worry. Oh no, how am I going to get through this? The difficulties, the setbacks, the unexpected hardships, the roadblocks that seem there's no way around or through. But think about this. If we never had any obstacles to faith, why would we need faith? If we could handle it all on our own, we wouldn't need faith. So the fact that we're called to walk by faith implies that we're going to encounter obstacles often to that faith. And we should thank the Lord for those because those help us grow. Which, by the way, Lord willing, next week, I'd like to just step back and talk about that. How do we grow in our faith? But that's next week. Paul says we are to walk by faith. That is, our whole life is to be characterized by living before the Lord in faith in Him. Trusting God in His leading and provision. Trusting Him for His protection day by day. Trusting God with all the difficulties, the setbacks, the heartaches, the hardships, and human impossibilities. And even when there aren't huge, big obstacles, trusting God for the grace and the wisdom and the strength we need day by day. You know, that's just kind of daily life. There may not be any huge thing we need to trust God for, but we need to trust Him for grace, to live for Him today, for strength, for wisdom. Trust Him for the things that we need day by day. And notice something, though, interesting regarding how Abram handles this obstacle of human impossibility, and that is he and Sarah having a child at their old age. Paul writes in verses 19 to 20, "Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God." It says that Abraham contemplated his own body and Sarah's body, now as good as dead. In other words, God promised him a son, and he said, "Sarah, that ain't going to happen." And he looked at himself and he said, "Abram, you don't have it in you. It ain't going to happen." He contemplated the reality of the obstacles. Now, isn't that contrary to the lesson we always take from Peter trying to walk on the water? What do we say about that? Well, Peter said, "Lord, command that I come to you also." And he started walking in the water. And what did he do? He started walking and then he looked at the obstacles, the waves. And he saw that the waves were so big and powerful and he was so impotent in comparison. And he became weak and he started to sink. And when he said, "Lord, reach out and save me." And when Jesus reached out to Peter and to pick him up, he said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And we say, you see, what he did is he took his eyes off of Jesus and he looked at the waves and he was overwhelmed with fear because he no longer saw Jesus, who's more than able to deliver him from those obstacles, those overpowering waves. But now he says that Abraham looked at the obstacle. He considered it. He thought about the reality of what God was promising, and yet he didn't waver in faith. What's the difference? I think the difference is that Peter did, obviously took his eyes off of Jesus. He looked at the waves to such an extent that was his focus, almost to the extent that he forgot that Jesus was even there in that moment. He's just overwhelmed with the obstacles, and he lost his faith. But on the other hand, Abraham seems to say he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, in the deadness of Sarah's womb, and yet with the promise of God, it seems like he's, okay, on the one hand, we have this impossibility. On the other hand, I have the promise of God. Gee, I think the promise of God wins every time. He kept both in focus. He didn't just focus totally on the obstacle. He looked at them both. He said, "Well, let's see here. This doesn't look very likely, but God can do anything." I choose to believe. So even though he can, you know, there's nothing wrong with looking at the waves. There's nothing wrong with looking at the problems. They're real. Acknowledge them, but acknowledge that God is greater. He's greater by far. Notice, too, that Paul's account of Abraham's testing seems to indicate that he didn't struggle with his faith, but had absolute unquestioning confidence in God. It says he without wavering in faith. It's like he was rock solid, never wavered a moment. And yet if you go back to Genesis 15, where God promised a second time, I'll give you a son, 10 years after the first time he promised, in Genesis 15, God came to him and he said, I will bless you, I will give you a son, I will give nations out of you, and they'll be the stars of heaven. And Abraham said, Lord, and I'm paraphrasing, Lord, what will you give me since I don't have a child? He said, Lord, you promised that, but what's happened? It's been 10 years since you promised, and nothing has happened except Sarah and I are 10 years older. It's getting more impossible. And God said, step out, look at the stars of heaven, and if you can count them, that's how many your descendants will be. And Abram believed God, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Abraham struggled with his faith. It's human. It isn't natural for us to walk by faith. It's a gift of God to walk by faith. And faith has struggles with it because there are obstacles. We can struggle with faith without falling into doubt, just like we can be tempted without falling into sin. And so I think, yes, Abraham struggled with his faith, and he struggled openly with God. He questioned him. He talked to him. But in the end, when God promised again, he said, okay, I believe you. And from that point, he didn't waver in unbelief. So, you know, don't read this section with Abraham and think, well, that's Abraham. He didn't struggle with his faith, but poor old me. And feel like guilty when you struggle with your faith. Abraham did. He looked at the reality of the obstacles. He looked at the reality of the impossibility. But he came back again to God's promise, and he said, God, I'll trust you. And we need to do the same. And God and Abraham's ability to deal with the obstacles, to struggle with it, and yet cling to the promise of God enabled him to arrive at the objective of faith, giving glory to God. Verse 20. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. When we walk by faith, when we exercise trust in God, when we trust him in all things, we're giving him glory. Why? Because we're saying, even though I don't understand how this is going to work out, even though I don't know my next step today, I trust you, Lord. Whether today is going to be a normal, easy day, or whether there's going to be difficulties I don't even know about. God, I trust you today, and that gives him glory. And when we put our faith in him, it gives him the opportunity to provide for the things we need when we're going through trials, which gives him glory. And when he provides for those needs, then we give him thanks for providing, which gives him glory. So the whole point of obstacles as we walk by faith gives God glory again and again. In Corinthians, Paul says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We're to walk by faith moment by moment. And as we do, we give glory to God. And when we walk by faith, we open the door for God to pour out the blessings of faith. Verses 21 to 22. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Now, it doesn't say it here, but we know, I think implied here is the fact, Abraham, concerning the promise of God, he believed he was able to do it. And in that belief, he received the promise, didn't he? God gave him the son that was promised. That was Isaac. Abraham received what was promised, a son in his old age. So when we exercise faith, when we trust in God, we open the door for him to provide what we need. We give him the opportunity to pour forth the blessing of his promises, whether it's wisdom, leading in life, whether it's provisions, protection, or giving us peace. in troubled times. Our faith gives God the opportunity to meet our need and fulfill his promises to us. But the first and greatest blessing of faith is our eternal salvation. Abraham's faith in God, in God's humanly impossible promise, brought about crediting Abraham with righteousness. He believed God for the promise of a son. He believed that he would bring life out of dead womb. He believed that God creates things out of nothing. He trusted God, and that faith was credited to him as righteousness. And that righteousness, that salvation, was far greater blessing than a promised son. It was his eternal soul. It was his salvation. And what an amazing thing is that being rewarded with righteousness for faith in God was not for Abraham alone. There are other beneficiaries of that faith, verses 23 to 25. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. God freely and graciously credited his righteousness to Abraham for his faith as an example of all who would believe, as an example of all who would have faith that God is the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Abraham believed God to fulfill a humanly impossible promise to give him a son in old age. What is it you and I need to trust God for this week? It may be a situation that seems impossible. Maybe a health issue that just doesn't seem to have any resolution. Maybe what you and I need to trust God for is not something that's impossible. Maybe it's something that's uncomfortable. Something we don't want to trust God for. Like repenting from sin. Or stepping out in faith in ministry or witness, or getting involved in small groups where we care for each other and become accountable to each other. Maybe there's some point in our walk of faith where we've come to a point, I'm afraid to go any further. It's too uncomfortable. Maybe that's what we need to trust God for. God is still asking us all to give him glory by trusting him and following him. And remember, the need of our trust is for a physically difficult or impossible situation, faith is not waiting for the arrival of that healing or provision, whatever it might be. Faith is trusting God even if he hasn't answered yet. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're trusting him. And it's hard, but sometimes we come in places in life where we say, humanly, this is not possible, and maybe God isn't going to change the situation, but I still believe he's good. We just sang earlier, God is good all the time. It's true. Even when he asks us to walk through difficult times. Again, in Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live by, in the flesh, I live by faith, even when it's difficult. How? I live by faith in Jesus who loved me and gave himself up for me. If he loved me enough to give himself up for me, I can trust him. I can walk by faith. I can say, even if you don't meet this need, I know that you're still good. I know that you still love me. You gave yourself up for me. And again, the basis of Abraham's faith was that he believed God was creator of all and had the power to give life to the dead. If God could raise the dead, he can give life through two reproductively dead people. The basis, the object of Abraham's faith was God. The basis of his faith was God can do the impossible. He can create out of nothing. He can raise the dead. And we must believe that too. and that he did raise Jesus, our Lord. Later in Romans, Paul says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, what? God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believing in resurrection power has been part of saving faith from the beginning. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe? Will you trust the Lord for each day's problems? If you've never received him, will you? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Last week, I was leaving the gym one evening, and I noticed a pamphlet I'd never seen standing on the desk of the gym, and a big bold letters or words on the top of the pamphlet, it said, aging options. And it kind of grabbed me. I thought, I didn't know there were any options. We all age, and the only option is really to stop aging rather suddenly. And then, that's another story. But I didn't know we had options. We all age. There's no options to that. Well, as I opened it up, it turns out it was investment and income options as we're aging, and by none other than our own Todd Tidball. But when it comes to the fact that we're sinners and the wages of sin is death, there are no options. We're all sinners. We can't change it. And the wages of sin is death. God can't change that no matter how much he loves us because he's holy and he's just. There must be death for sin. But God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to pay the penalty for us, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's our option. Trust in Jesus for eternal life. If you've never done that, I pray that you do that today. Let's pray.